Hello and welcome to a new edition of RAI Argentina to the World in English. We are the foreign service of Argentina's public national radio. We broadcast via the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, and you can find our programs and a lot of content on our website on RAI Argentina to the World, originally produced by RAI in 8 languages. I am Fernando Farias and I'm bringing you this weekly edition of our show in English, always expecting to return to our studios in central Buenos Aires to be able to bring you again a daily show with news and features. But because of COVID-19, practically for the past year, we've been working remotely with everybody producing from home with their own gear, and that's why we are not producing as many shows as we like and as Raya did since it started broadcasting in 1958. But we are seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, and I apologize for the cliche, but that's the expectation. We've got optimism with the vaccine rollout going on around the world, and particularly here in Argentina, and we hope that soon, or sooner or later, we'll return to Maipú 555 and have the infrastructure again to be able to put more content on the air and bring you again programs from Mondays through Fridays. On today's program, we'll have the news of the week from Argentina and Latin America. And we'll also bring you a feature on a legend, a myth. It's part of a new cycle that we launched recently, Argentine Myths. And today we'll talk about one that comes from the ingenios, the sugar mills of Argentina's sugar-producing province, Tucumán. We'll talk about the legend of El Familiar, and a control instrument used by the landowners on their workers. Stay tuned and learn more about this tradition that lives on to the present day in the northern parts, the northwestern parts of Argentina. And we'll have time to listen to some music as well. If you want to get in touch with us, if you want to send a reception report and receive one of our digital QSL cards, get in touch with us and send us that reception report or any message to qslrai@gmail.com. Okay, let's get on with the news, starting with the headlines. The Argentine government assures that coronavirus infections have decreased while vaccination of people over 60 years of age has begun in the country. In Brazil, the state of Amazonas was put in lockdown and the Rio Carnival was definitely cancelled because of the pandemic. The Argentine government halts layoffs and freezes beef and fuel prices amid the highest deficit in 2 decades. President Alberto Fernandez congratulated Joe Biden after taking office in the US and expressed optimism about the upcoming bilateral ties. Due to the pandemic, several governors proposed to suspend the primary elections scheduled for August of this year. Sports. Defensa y Justicia won the Copa Sudamericana only 6 years after being promoted to the first category of Argentine football. And here are the news. In Argentina, the daily average number of coronavirus infections is slightly decreased, even though the number is still high, about 10,000 per day. This was reported by Carla Bisotti of the Ministry of Health, who highlighted the slowdown after the surge that began in late December, when new cases went from 5 to 13,000 per day. The official detailed that the main hotspot is in the Buenos Aires city area, whereas the situation is under control in the north of the country, she said. In this context, the government has ordered airlines to cut down the number of flights to and from Europe, the US, Brazil, and Mexico in order to prevent the arrival of new variants of the virus. On the other hand, the Drug Safety Agency, ANMAT, has approved the application of the Sputnik V vaccine to people over 60 years of age. After this announcement, President Alberto Fernandez and Vice President Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner were photographed receiving their respective first shots. The vaccination campaign has been going on for a month in Argentina and has reached almost 300,000 people, mainly health and security forces staff. All in all, a new flight of Aerolíneas Argentinas has departed, headed for Moscow to bring back a new shipment of vaccines. At the same time, the main teachers' union in Argentina, CETERA, has insisted that the sanitary conditions for a total reopening of schools after the summer are not in place. This union announced that they will not go to work on February 17, which is the day that the government of the city of Buenos Aires has set for the beginning of the school year. The authorities of the capital city, in turn, warned that they will dock the day of the pay for teachers who join this strike. The rest of the Argentine provinces plan to return to classrooms on March the 1st, combining face-to-face with online lessons. Meanwhile, there was controversy this week over allegations of abuse in COVID isolation centers in the northeastern province of Formosa. Two local lawmakers were arrested and later released after protesting in front of one of these centers for what they call arbitrary confinement in precarious conditions. Some opposition leaders even called for a federal intervention in the district, arguing human rights were being violated in this jurisdiction bordering Paraguay. But Formosa officials denied the accusations and argued that the measures have allowed the district to have less than 10 COVID deaths since the beginning of the pandemic a year ago. Meanwhile, in the province of La Pampa, authorities have authorized the treatment of COVID patients with ivermectin, or ivermectina, which is a veterinary antiparasitic substance which is not authorized by ANMAT. Officials from La Pampa say that the substance reduces the viral load of coronavirus and anticipate that it will only be applied with the patient's consent. At the same time, the police put an end to a night party of 2,000 people in the beach of Nueva Atlantis, Buenos Aires province. These so-called clandestine parties are the meeting point for many young people during this summer when discotheques and clubs remain closed due to the pandemic. In Brazil, the state of Amazonas has been put in lockdown amid a worsening of the COVID-19 pandemic. The local government ordered the closure of non-essential businesses and banned the movement of people for at least 7 days. Last week, hospitals were reported to be overwhelmed amid a lack of oxygen tubes for the seriously ill. In this context, Mayor David Almeida admitted in an interview with Radio France International that Manaus is a war zone with 1,200 dead in just 3 weeks. Also in Brazil, the world-famous Rio Carnival was definitely cancelled for 2021 due to the pandemic after an attempt to postpone it from February to July. Meanwhile, in Colombia, one of the countries hardest hit by the pandemic with 51,000 deaths, Defense Minister Carlos Olmes Trujillo died after being hospitalized for several days due to COVID-19. Meanwhile, Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador tested positive for the virus. According to reports, the 67-year-old head of state has mild symptoms and remains isolated in his official residence with his wife and son while carrying on with his duties. Meanwhile, the president of Venezuela, Nicolás Maduro, announced on TV that his country's scientists have developed a cure for COVID-19, which has already been internationally patented. This compound is called Carvativir, and according to the Venezuelan leader, it neutralizes 100% of coronavirus. Mr. Maduro said that it was tested on patients at a health center in the capital, Caracas, for 9 months, even though he did not give details regarding endorsements from medical organizations. Finally, the state of Florida will begin to require proof of residency for those who are vaccinated against coronavirus. This decision comes following a controversy caused by tourists, among them many Argentines, who travel to the US just to receive a free dose of the Pfizer or Moderna vaccine. The government announced an agreement with the industry of beef, which is one of the main foods in the Argentine diet and whose price had increased by 30% since the end of December. The accord with meat packers and exporters covers 8 of the most locally consumed cuts, which will be sold at lower prices on weekends in the main supermarkets. For example, the traditional asado or barbecue ribs will cost 400 pesos per kilo, that's to say just under $5, and that's $1 less than a month ago. Officials anticipated that a similar plan for vegetables and fruits is in the offing. The beef program seeks to counteract the impact of inflation, which last year dropped almost 20 points, but still remained high, at over 36%. The action is also part of the government's response to the coronavirus pandemic and its economic consequences. For example, this week, the Casa Rosada decreed an extension of the layoff ban up to April 30. The Argentine Industrial Union lobby criticized in turn this measure and said it generates uncertainty, distrust, and more informal employment. It should be noted that in 2020, many companies received financial aid from the state to pay their employees' wages and avoid firing them. Also, in the last few days, the executive branch postponed an update of fuel taxes in order to avoid an increase in pump prices. In addition, the next increases in electricity and natural gas rates were postponed until March. These decisions of the Fernandez administration come after several months of falling economic activity due to the pandemic, and the increase in public spending to face it means that 2020 closed with the highest fiscal deficit in more than 2 decades for Argentina, 6.5% of the GDP. Argentine President Alberto Fernández traveled to Chile, where he met with his Chilean counterpart Sebastián Piñera and said, "If we had been closer together, we would have weathered this pandemic a lot better." The president and his Chilean counterpart issued a joint statement in the capital, Santiago, in which they affirmed that both South American nations are indissolubly brother countries. The host stressed that the Argentine-Chilean ties are very old and very deep and celebrated that Fernandez's visit was very fruitful. Mr. Piñera also said, "The pandemic has left us with lessons learned, and we have analyzed together how to face the problems of the future," quote-unquote. It should be noted that this was one of the few trips out of the country for Alberto Fernandez since the beginning of the health crisis. In fact, the trip had to be rescheduled 2 weeks ago because Piñera had to put himself in isolation for being in close contact with a confirmed case of COVID-19. Regarding international relations, the Argentine president held a teleconference with the Chancellor of Germany, Angela Merkel. In this contact, the president asked for Berlin's support in the negotiations with the International Monetary Fund, to which Argentina owes more than $50 billion. Finally, Mr. Fernandez sent a letter to Joe Biden to congratulate him on his inauguration as President of the United States. In the letter, he celebrates that the new administration in the White House has immediately reversed some of Donald Trump's decisions, such as the exit from the World Health Organization and from the Paris Climate Agreement. In other news, the Argentine Congress will discuss over the next few days a project to suspend the primary elections scheduled for August because of the pandemic. Several governors have already proposed President Fernandez that this year the so-called PASO vote, which is held 2 months before the definitive general election, is not held. The initiative to be dealt with by the parliament underlines that the suspension would be only once for this 2021 due to the health crisis caused by COVID. Anyway, it is worth mentioning that several people have proposed the outright elimination of this electoral stage, arguing that it has lost its original purpose. The simultaneous and mandatory open primaries, known as PASO, that's the Spanish acronym, were implemented first in 2011 in order for the parties to define their candidates through the vote of the people. But since then, the reality is that almost all political forces reach a consensus before the primary in order to present one pre-candidate and avoid a political erosion before the decisive contest. Thus, the PASO became some kind of a poll that anticipates the outcome of the general elections 2 months later. In October, the midterm parliamentary elections will be held, in which half of the seats in the Chamber of Deputies and one-third in the Senate will be renewed. Sports. The Argentine team Defensa y Justicia was crowned champion of the Copa Sudamericana, the biggest continental soccer tournament after the Libertadores. They beat another Argentine team, Lanús, 3-0 in the final. The Hawk, El Halcón, as their supporters call it, thus accomplished a real feat considering they were promoted to the highest category of Argentine soccer for the first time only in 2014. This means that less than 7 years later, this team from Florencio Varela in the province of Buenos Aires won their first international title. To win the Sudamericana, Defensa y Justicia beat Sportivo Luqueño from Paraguay, Vasco da Gama and Bahia from Brazil, and Deportes Coquimbo from Chile, as well as Lanús from Argentina in the final. The champion's coach is Hernán Crespo, a legendary former striker who played for River, Inter, Milan and Chelsea, as well as the Argentine national team. According to media reports, the Chilean Football Association has expressed interest in hiring him as coach of its national team. In other sporting news, the Argentine men's handball team was eliminated from the World Championship ongoing in Egypt. The so-called Gladiators lost 26-25 to Qatar and failed to reach the quarterfinals of a World Championship for the first time in history. And these were the news brought to you by RAI, Argentina to the World. RAI, Argentina to the World presents Argentine Myths and Legends. In today's chapter, El Familiar, or The Relative. One of the most traditional legends of northern Argentina is that of the relative, El Familiar. The story spread in sugarcane mills, which were established after the Spanish conquest and are known as ingenios in Argentina. The myth of the familiar is still told in the present day, especially in northern provinces such as Tucumán, Salta, and Jujuy. El familiar is an evil spirit. It is actually some kind of demon that makes a pact with the owners of ingenios, so the latter keep their workers under control and their mills productive. The being can take the form of a huge black horse and can be seen during full moon nights. Fulfilling the pact with the relative demands a soul, and so the patrones, the landowners, would deliver rogue Indians or gauchos or vagabonds or any worker who had dared to raise their voice against the appalling working and living conditions their employers subjected them to. Inexplicable deaths were rumored to be the offerings the sugarcane lord had made to the familiar to retain power and wealth. This legend gained strength around the mid-19th century and continued against the backdrop of semi-slavery conditions for mills workers. The myth kind of had a decline when sugar output began to drop and the industry gilded era came to an end. The sugar mills that made several Argentine families extremely rich marked towns and workers with blood. One particular chapter in this story is that of the Santa Ana sugar mill, which was owned by Frenchman Clodomiro Hilaret in the province of Tucumán. Property was almost 30,000 hectares vast, and his was the largest sugar mill in the whole of Latin America. By the late 19th century, the Santa Ana establishment was a massive hub in the middle of the Tucumán jungle that yielded 8,000 tons of sugar and 2 million liters of alcohol per year. Over the years, the mill grew in such a way that by the beginning of the 20th century, it had electricity network, 50 kilometers of railroad tracks, telephone, and grammar schools for the staff. It wasn't easy to keep this under control. There were 2,000 machete-wielding workers that had to obey 30 to 40 foremen with guns and dogs. Many of these workers were Indians brought from the Chaco or Salta provinces against their will. The legend may be told differently in other parts of northern Argentina, where the familiar can also take the form of a huge black dog or a giant snake. But whatever the shape, the being or the familiar is always black and is always hungry for raw workers. The familiar legend was used as a control instrument by rich sugarcane families, many of which had luxurious French-style houses in Buenos Aires, a city that earned at the turn of the 19th century the nickname the Paris of the South. Right, Argentina to the World presented Argentine myths and legends. Today, El Familiar. The relative. Translation and voiceover, Fernando Farias. Edition, Fabian Panizzi. Production, Silvana Avellaneda. Web production, Julian Cortés. Right, and before signing off, we are going to listen to a little bit of music in order to mark the National Day of the Musician or Argentine Musician's Day. This is a date that was added to our calendar quite recently in order to pay homage to one of the most influential Argentine musicians of all time, Luis Alberto Spinetta, who was born on January 23rd, 1950. And that's why last week, on January 23rd, we marked the National Day of the Musician. Spinetta is a key figure in the history of Argentine rock, and rock in Spanish, for that matter, and he's been, through his career spanning more than four decades, a real chameleon, comparable to, say, David Bowie. He did acoustic rock, hard rock, jazz rock, experimental. He had a power trio in the 1990s. He was very, very versatile and very much loved and very influential. He was a gifted guitarist, a very talented singer, and a brilliant composer. We are going to play one of the songs from his power trio, Los Socios del Desierto, which was his project in the second half of the 1990s. This is the most famous song by that ensemble. Cheques is the name of this tune. That was Espineta and Los Socios del Desierto with Cheques, a tune that we played to mark a new anniversary of Espineta's birth on January 23rd, 1950, a date that is now marked as the National Day of the Musician. Espineta passed away in February 2012 and he's very, very much missed. And this way we come to the end of today's edition of RAI Argentina to the World in English, a program that is aired via WRMI, Miami Radio International, and is also available as a podcast via our website, rai.com.ar. I'm Fernando Farias. Thank you for listening. Take care and hasta la próxima.